Thank you, Roger. Well, again, I would also like to welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I threw Manon a curve this morning. I asked her to change that second song. And she had a pretty one picked out for you, but the Count Your Many Blessings pertains to the discussion I want to have with you this morning. And actually, I suppose if you wanted a title, they always hand a little slip of paper up here that we fill out. Says what the title is. I put down blessings, and then I added, and little things. So we're going to talk about blessings and little things. You know, over the last, especially the last two weekends, we had an excellent sermon by Dusty 2 weeks ago. Last week we had an excellent one by Don Case. I think he called it Promise Keepers. And he said that when God says it, it's going to happen. That was an excellent sermon. And I think that they kind of prepare us for the end of the year and the coming new. And with this new year and the way 2020's ended up, we're confused. We don't know what to expect. And sometimes that leads to doubt and worry. And I'd like to propose to you that you not doubt, that you not worry, that you look at your blessings, that you look at what's recorded in the scriptures, what the Lord has given us as directions, that there is hope, that He will always be there, and we don't need to worry. Of course, the unknown tends to lead to a little bit of worry, but I don't think we should. I know coming into Christmas last week, we were encouraged, or at least I hope Susan was, I was, that some of the stuff that we normally see on TV wasn't there, and they had some old-time, just good old movies. And we were watching one by, had Bing Crosby in it, and I remember those days because that was World War II. I was just a kid, and that was when White Christmas came out. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know, some of those silly little songs. And I remember those. Now, the kids in here are going to say, Bing who? But they won't remember old Crosby. But in one of these movies we was watching, he was singing to some kids. And it was at that point that I think the Lord placed on my mind what I should talk about this morning. For he was singing a song to them about counting sheep. How many kids in here know what counting sheep means? Oh, we got one. Okay. Well, our grandmothers and our mothers long ago used to tell us if we couldn't get to sleep at night, we'd do like the shepherds. We'd pretend like we had a flock of sheep out there and there was a turnstile, and as the sheep would jump the turnstile, you'd count them. And as you counted, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, you'd go to sleep. Well, in Bing's song, he said, when you're having trouble going to sleep, he said, count your blessings, not your sheep. And that registered with me. And so I thought, I better look up some scriptures about that. Because, you know, we are blessed people. And although we may be a little discouraged and looking to the future, we've got a lot to be thankful for. just an awful lot. I'm going to start in Alma. I'm going to use the 16th chapter, and we'll go down here to verse 127, I think. Well, I'm going to start on the bottom of page 429 in the Book of Mormon. It's a verse 219. It says, "Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when you are in your fields, yea, even in your all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, evening, yes. Cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yes, cry unto him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness." And he has said, as Don told you, he will answer those prayers, and he'll be there to help you. You have to ask, but he'll be there. And that's a blessing. Do you ever think of those blessings? The little blessings around the house, the little things that help you day to day? I'm gonna mention a few of those. And if you're baptized, take upon you the name of Jesus Christ. He says, "And now behold, my brethren, I say unto you," and this is in verse 223, "Do not suppose that this is all, for after you've done all these things, if you turn away the needy, the naked, visit not the sick or the afflicted, and impart of your substance, if you have, to all those which stand in need, I say unto you, if you do not any of these things, behold, your prayers are in vain." So we should look to our daily life and the things that we should be doing as our actions. Don't worry about the world. Don't worry about the other guy. But what can you do to be a help to anybody? Everywhere. Your neighbors, your friends, certainly your family. And your family, the church, the people here that come together to worship God. And then he says in 227, "Yea, I would that you would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. Now is the time and the day of your salvation. Therefore, if you will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you." In verse 230, "And after this day of life, which is given to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, where no work can be prepared." That's our task before us. And that's a challenge. And we have to think of our blessings, the little things. Let's go over to chapter 18 here in Alma. Short chapter. Only has 18 verses. I'm just going to read, I think, number 2. These are the commandments of Alma to his son Shiblam. But he says, "Now, my son, I trust that I shall have great joy in you because of your steadiness and your faithfulness unto God. For as you have connected in your youth or commenced in your youth, to look to the Lord your God, even so, I hope that you will continue in keeping his commandments, for blessed is he that endureth to the end. Now, we've all heard sermons, some lately, about endurance and staying steadfast, and that's something we should continue from this year into next, whatever it brings. And keep the commandments of the Lord, and we will be blessed. I might give you a testimony of a blessing in service, helping someone. You may have remembered this testimony. It's my oldest son's testimony. It used to be, he lived in Independence before he moved to Minnesota. And he came to me one day, and he bore this testimony to me. I'm not sure if you've heard it or not, but he was shopping one day in the grocery store. He was behind a little old lady, and he looked forward, and she was taking things out of her sack and putting them back on the counter. And he asked the checkout lady, "What's going on here?" And she says, "Well, she can't pay for all this." And he said, "Oh, put it back. I'll take care of it." So he counted his pennies, and he had enough to get his and hers too. And he did. The next day he went to work. They said, "Oh, we want to inform you that the boss just gave you a raise." A blessing? Absolutely. Now, his happened to be monetary. It happened to be something of the world, which was important. He needed the money too. But the idea is that you don't know when God's going to reward you, how he's going to reward you, or how it will take place. But it will happen. That's what Don Case told you last week. If you help others and help yourself, keep the commandments of God. I always remembered that testimony. Let's, another one in Alma. Let's go over to chapter 21. Verse 16. This one that probably applies today, maybe to our country. We're on page 467. It's Alma chapter 21, and I'm going to start at verse 16. Now, this is an account of the people, and Helaman is in charge, and he is blessing his brothers and his family and the church at this point. And now it came to pass that after Alma, verse 16, Alma had said these words unto Helaman, he blessed him and also his other sons. And he also blessed the earth for the righteousness' sake. And here's why he did that blessing. And he said, thus saith the Lord God, cursed shall be the land, yea, the land unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, unto destruction, which do wickedly when they are fully ripe. Now he gave that testimony, that prediction, if you will, that blessing to this land. And we know the scriptures. We've heard it often. It it's been preached up here, that as long as righteousness prevails on this land, it will survive and prosper. If the people ever turn wicked and do wickedly, then they face the consequences. And that worries some of us for the future, because certainly the world is evil out there, and we need to stay out of it. But we don't have to concern ourselves with how that happens. We have to keep the commandments of God. We have to take care of our own, and God will take care of us. Do you believe that? You should. It is a blessing. I'll get to the little things in a little bit. Let me see. Verse 19. And now when Alma had said these words, he blessed the church, yea, all those who should stand first in the faith from that time henceforth. And that's our charge. As a church, as a people, to stay together, to encourage. Talk to your friends, your neighbors, other members of the family, those that aren't here this morning. I recognize this is the holidays and people are off and about and traveling, but we have the future to look to. Look to it for us here as the church. Make that your mission. I told you I would get to some little things. There are some things in our daily life that we need to look to. And I'm not a counselor, but I'm going to counsel you anyway. In your homes, I make the assumption, particularly of you all, that you say what we call grace at your meals when you sit down. At breakfast, and at lunch, and at dinner. And if you don't, do it. All three meals. And if you're in a restaurant, are you embarrassed? No. You bow your head and say your prayer. I don't know how many times I've done that in a restaurant. And somebody, before I get out of there, will come by the table, bend over and say, we appreciated your prayer. It's noticed. And you know who else notices? God. You need to ask his blessing on your activities. You know, every day when I go out and then come home, I get a blessing. Every single time. You do too. Gary does. Roger does. We get a blessing. Why do we get a blessing? Because you drive in your driveway, you didn't have an accident. You made it home. You didn't run out of gas. You didn't hit anybody or run over any little old ladies. The little things. Do you then just kind of bow your head silently and say, thank you, Lord, for getting me home today? If you don't, you should. Glenn does. I know he does. I suspect that Randy does too. Or the time that I drove in my driveway, I actually had this happen. Turned the motor off, got out of the car, and I heard this sss. Well, there was no snake there. I had a flat tire in my own driveway. What a blessing. You say, now, come on, Brother Harris, a blessing, your flat tire? Absolutely. That could have been on the freeway. And at freeway speeds, it doesn't just go flat, it's apt to blow out. And that's dangerous. God blessed me. You say, and everybody asks this question, why? You didn't have to have a flat tire in your driveway. Why is that such a big blessing? Well, maybe that's a message to me to check my tires more often or to do something I haven't done. There's a reason. Do I know the reason? Probably not at the moment. If I'm smart, I'll think about it. I'll ask God and I'll figure it out. And you should too. The little things, the little blessings of the day. And when you're working on this kind of stuff, don't worry about who's in Afghanistan. That, Lord will take care of that. You wives and mothers, how many of you have had this experience? I've had it. I'll bet you have too. You're making a meal, company's coming over, you have to have an ingredient, you go to the store, you can't find it, they're out. You turn a corner, and would you believe there's one last box or one last can or one last something, and you fetch it down. The Lord saved that one for you. Thank you, Lord, for saving this for me. And you take it off and go home. That's a blessing. The little things. I'm obsessed with the little things this morning. Let me see here. Let's go to Mosiah, first chapter. Let's start at verse 53. It's on page 212. I say unto you that you should serve him who hath created you from the beginning and art preserving you from day to day by lending you breath that you may live and move and do according to your own will and even supporting you from one moment to another. He does. Think about it. He does. I say, if you should serve him with all your whole soul, you would be unprofitable servants. There's no way you can repay him for all the good things he does for you. You do it out of love. You don't measure it. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments. And he hath promised you that if you would keep his commandments, you should prosper in the land. What a blessing. What a blessing. Well, let's see. First Nephi. Chapter 7. I'm on page 74. This is chapter 7. I think I'll start at verse 21. And I would, my brethren, that you should know that all the kindred of the earth cannot be blessed unless he shall make bare his arm in the eyes of the nations. Wherefore, the Lord God will proceed to make bare his arm in the eyes of all nations, in bringing about his covenants and his gospel unto them which are of the house of Israel. Wherefore he will bring them again out of captivity, and they shall be gathered together to the lands of their first inheritance. And this was written back in 500 BC. Now that gathering has started. Israel is a state, but it's not complete. But the Lord is working in the world, and that's his task, not ours. We don't second guess him, but we are the spectators. And let us know our little blessings. If we're keeping his commandments, I'm going to say staying out of trouble, staying together, supporting the faithful, he will take care of us. Believe it. It is true. Give you a little blessing. I'm going to use my daughter, Susan. Hope she won't mind. She just returned from Colorado. She was out there for David's funeral. And they had told her, they said, when you get home, be sure and go through a car wash or wash the grit and the salt and all the stuff from off of the freeways and where you were driving on the interstates. And because it makes your brakes squeak and strange sounds and noises and things, and take care of your car. And she did that. And she got a blessing. She went to this car wash over in Kansas City, and we're over in Kansas, and got her car washed. And as she went through, the apparatus caught the back bumper of her car and tore it off. A blessing. Once again, you're going to say, "Now, come on, Brother Harris. You just tore the back end of her car off. How's that a blessing?" Well, I can tell you, I had an accident once out of state. The hoops you have to jump through and the things you have to do to take care of that with the insurance here and the insurance there, and it is a fiasco. She was blessed. She went to a car wash here, not in Colorado. She'd have had that accident in Colorado, they'd be arguing with the lawyers for weeks. She's going to get it taken care of. It's going to get paid for. Her car's going to be fixed. Well, why'd she have to have it happen at all? I don't know. Maybe there's a lesson to learn. Stay out of Colorado car washes. I don't know. But she had a blessing. I hope you can see little things like that as blessings. I don't know, maybe that's not a little thing, Susan. Let's go over to Psalms. There are two or three Psalms that I think we could read that might give us a little pleasure here. I can't give you a page number, but we'll start with Psalm 29. I'll start with the first verse and just kind of pick a couple here and then end up with 11. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth, and the Lord is upon many waters. And I read this psalm, and I see nature. I see the power of nature. I see what it means to me. The peace and the tranquility, and yes, the power. And he ends up with verse 11 at the bottom. If we do those things, give him the glory. Say, thank you, Lord. I appreciate what you did. Bless our food. Bless our service. Bless our people. And in verse 11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And as Don told us last week, if he says it, it's going to happen. He will give that peace. Believe it. Let's go up to 128. Psalm 128, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Now, that's not the fear of being scared. That is the fear that we will do something wrong and raise his ire or displeasure with us. That's what we should fear. That we transgress or do something wrong that will not please the Lord. That's the kind of fear they're talking about. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. And if we move back to 124, he is saying here, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. think what they must have thought when the Moses parted the sea and the chariots were drowned with the men and the people that Moses took out of Egypt were saved. For in other cases where he had to have his aides hold his stick and his arms up while a battle was going on, and the Lord fought the battle for them. The Old Testament is just full of these type of things. And the success of Jesus in the New Testament is the same way. If they hadn't been on our side, where would we be? Think of today. Think of the little things. Think of home. I see these little ones up here, and I remember when I was a kid, and we'd fall off our bike or fall off the porch or something and skin up a knee and go in, and Mom would put a Band-Aid on it and make it all well, you know. And what a blessing. You say, once again, you say, Brother Harris, come on. You get skinned up and that's a blessing? Of course. You could have fallen off the porch and broke your arm, or worse yet, broke your head, or ended up in the hospital. All you got is a scratched knee. What a blessing. Why did that have to happen? To teach you a lesson, so you'd be careful. Part of God's chastisement. He's not persecuting you. He's trying to get you to learn. It's all in the perspective and the way you look at it. And you have to be positive. And if we go into the new year thinking positive, we'll succeed. God said so. He said he'll promise you. We don't need to worry. I'll grant you, you look at some of the things that some of the idiots are doing these days, you wonder, but he will be there. That's what we have to remember. I remember Doris Sheldon. You remember Doris Sheldon and her testimonies? She had the doggonedest time with her car keys. She was always losing them. And he always found them for her. A little thing, and over. I don't know how many times I've heard her give that testimony. Bless her heart. But it was important. She had things to do, places to go, people to help. She'd give you the shirt off her back. She just had to get there. Where are my car keys? How many of you remember Doris? Hey, all right. Last scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Whoops, went too far. Tenth chapter. I'm going to read the 13th verse. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. We're not any different than anybody else. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. God does not tempt you. He can withdraw his spirit, and the devil tempts you. God does not tempt you. but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He said it. That's a promise. It will happen. You may not think so, but it will happen. We sang about it in the song. Verse 18 says, "Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar?" That's speaking of what we call the sacrament today. And we are Israel by adoption. So this applies to us. And then in verse 21, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and eat of the table of the devils." You have to decide who you serve. And it's very, very important that you keep the sacrament, that you take it to regain your strength, to show your willingness to serve Jesus Christ. Every sacrament Sunday, this place should be full. It is a necessary commodity. It is a blessing. A gift from God to give us the strength and bolster our faith. That sacrament is so, so, so important, for it is the cup of the Lord. We should remember that. We should remember all of the little things. I'm not going to read them now because they've been read to you before. But if you go to the fifth chapter of Matthew, what will you find? The Sermon on the Mount, and it starts out with the Beatitudes and lists all of those blessings. Read them. Read them often. Go over them. Know what they say. And they'll give you strength. I think for we that are assembled here and others assembled in other places, we have a success for the year. We've stayed faithful. We've met our commitments. I trust you're keeping the commandments of the Lord. Remember the little things. One last parting shot here. The Jewish people have a tradition, and it's written up for the Passover, but they don't just do the Passover. They don't just have the feast for the 7 days. It's a learning experience, and the patriarch or the head of the family explains to the children, and it tells you this in the scripture, that they will do this. He explains why you do it. What's the Passover for? What does it mean? Where'd we come from and where are we going? We should do the same thing. When you meet at your tables, you say your grace. Explain to the kids, do you know why we pray? Do you know why we thank? Do you know why we thank God first and then ask second for the things we want? There's an order to things. They need to know it. It's instruction. And God will be there. Believe it. God bless you for the new year.